Hey Sandra, wir haben uns ja lange nicht mehr gesehen.
Grüß dich, Nadine. Mensch, du siehst ja toll aus.
Ja, danke. Ich habe mein plus-ris gesündere Ich entdeckt.
Was?
Komm, ich zeig's dir.
Die Bewegungskurse der AOK Plus. Kostenfrei für AOK Plus Versicherte. Entdecke dein Plus fürs gesündere Ich und starte mit unserem Self-Check. Ganz einfach online auf aok.de. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit. AOK Plus.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Friday, October 25th, 2024. We are 11 days away from Election Day. You're probably in a state where early voting has already begun. Get out there and vote. What's to come up in this episode? Today's going to be a little bit of a special episode. We're going to go over one poll in detail, the latest release from the New York Times, Siena College, and they have a national poll that's broken down pretty well among a bunch of different demographics. We're just going to dive in to some of the crosstabs today and just give you a breakdown of one of the most highly anticipated polls of the year. Before we do that, though, our key metric of the day, and that, of course, is going to be the PulseCast, which gives you an estimate, a sort of a summary of dozens of factors, including polling averages, election models, and prediction markets. And today, it holds pretty steady from yesterday. Donald Trump with a 52.39% chance to win the election. Kamala Harris at 47.61%. If you have not been following the PulseCast, you can do that at glennbeck.com/PulseCast. Donald Trump took over the lead on October 19th and has increased that lead up until 52% today. And this is something that a lot of people, I think the vibes feel a little bit better than 52%. Most Trump supporters, I think, are more confident than a 52% chance of victory. That's what the data is showing right now. And of course, it does not include our New York Times Siena poll, which is today's focus. And I think looking at this poll provides a bunch of different interesting things. First of all, you should know the New York Times Siena College is 538's number one rated pollster. They are known for their high levels of quality when it comes to methodology. You might not agree with their results. I'm just telling you what the polling community generally thinks about them. And what's fascinating about this is this poll shows a move once again toward Donald Trump. Now, if you kind of look at this at the surface, what the poll shows is a 48% to 48% tie. A tie between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Now, when you include third-party candidates, which is the situation for most voters around the country, you're going to have a bunch of different options. It's not going to be two. Kamala Harris trails by 1 point. Donald Trump with 47%. Kamala Harris at 46%. Jill Stein comes in at 2%. I will be shocked if she actually clears 2%. That seems absurdly high for her. But it's certainly possible. Chase Oliver, a Libertarian, less than 1%. Cornel West, less than 0.5%. And some others, less than 0.5%. So that's basically the general overview. If you dive in a little bit deeper, though, you see some really interesting things. And I'll mark this poll in this way in particular. When you're comparing polls to polls, it's important to compare the same pollsters' efforts to their previous efforts. If you're saying, like, okay, well, the Rasmussen poll says this, and that's 5 points better for Trump than the New York Times poll, that you can't think of that as a movement of 5 points towards Trump. You have to look at, you can look at a Rasmussen poll versus a Rasmussen poll if you wish, or you could look at a New York Times poll versus a New York Times poll if you wish. But the methodology should remain consistent between those two efforts, and that's where you can maybe see some movement. The previous poll from the New York Times Siena had Kamala Harris up by 3 points. And I've been harping on this quite a bit recently on Stu Does America, also the Glenn Beck radio program. When we talk about the momentum of this race, if you're a believer in momentum, you definitely are going to say the momentum is with Donald Trump right now. If you're just a person who's just looking at trends, you can pretty much easily suss out a trend from about mid but from the second or third week in September until today, which has been a pretty considerable rise for Donald Trump. Basically, since the vice presidential debate, the rise has been really clear, and that was, I believe, October 1st. So let me go through some of what we're seeing in this poll, because there's some interesting breakdowns. And we'll start with the gender gap. The gender gap is going to be a big topic, of course, this election, because what you're seeing is maybe more than normal, a situation where men are gravitating, generally speaking, toward Donald Trump, even if you've seen that I am a man ad campaign from Kamala Harris's campaign that is happening. And women are generally leaning towards Kamala Harris. So I'll look at this through the question that mentioned all the third parties, so we have everybody included. But you're seeing among men, Donald Trump leads 53-39%. And among women, Kamala Harris leads 53-41%, almost the exact reverse of each other. Just a slight advantage for Donald Trump when it comes to women compared to Kamala Harris's performance among men, which gives him a 1-point lead in this race overall. I mean, that is really as obvious as you can get when it comes to analysis of any crosstabs here. Men and women are different. I know the left has been trying to convince us forever they are not, but while there are a lot of women voting for Donald Trump and a lot of men voting for Kamala Harris, the trend's pretty clear. About a 14-point advantage for Donald Trump among men, about a 12-point disadvantage for Donald Trump among women. In the age categories, it breaks down interesting in an interesting way, because Donald Trump is not leading a lot of age categories. Younger voters, you might expect, Donald Trump is trailing Kamala Harris 53-42%. But Donald Trump also is trailing among those voters 30 to 44 years of age by 5 points, a little bit less, 5 points, 47-42. Among, I don't know if you'd say this, these are Gen X voters, I guess, is right around this category, maybe a little bit of a little older than that. But voters between 45 and 64 is where Donald Trump really excels. Trump is able to win that category 50-43%. And that is really doing a lot of the heavy lifting for Donald Trump in this campaign, because abnormally, this is different than is the typical, but abnormally, the Democrat is leading among older voters. Kamala Harris leads 65-plus voters by 1 point. So Kamala Harris leads between all voters between 18 and 44, and also 65-plus. The only age category that Donald Trump is leading in this election, according to the New York Times Siena poll, is voters 45 to 64, and that is a 7-point margin. That is enough to give him the overall lead. And remember, we are talking about popular vote here. So this is a national popular vote survey. This is not supposed to tell you necessarily who wins the election, though it is very, very likely if Donald Trump wins the popular vote, he also wins the Electoral College. This is at least how it's been for several election cycles where Republicans have had that advantage when it comes to the Electoral College. Maybe at some point we'll do another episode of this podcast and explain to you there's a few people, some smart people out there questioning whether that Electoral College advantage will continue into this election, but it has been the case for a while. The typical assumption is that a Republican candidate can win the presidential election if they can get within 2 to 2.5 points in the popular vote. If that happens, generally speaking, a Republican candidate can be relied upon to win. Some of the reason for that is basically Democrats really run up their popular vote margins in states where they don't necessarily need it. States like California and New York, where they're going to maybe win by double digits. They get millions and millions of votes in these large states that aren't really competitive. And that gives them that popular vote advantage when it doesn't really give them anything in the Electoral College. Okay, I want to move on to racial breakdowns. And we have an interesting breakout here when it comes to white voters, black voters, Hispanic voters, and other. So white voters, Donald Trump with the edge, 53-42. That's something, of course, he will need to maintain to win this election. This is not as large as some previous Republican candidates when you see. And for this candidate completely called a white supremacist by the mainstream media all the time, you'd think he'd do really well with white voters, but he's not performing all that well with white voters. He has 11% of the black vote. He's losing that 79-11. These are numbers that are slightly worse than we've seen in previous polls for Donald Trump. 11% is a slight improvement over candidates, let's say like John McCain, But it's not particularly an advantage over candidates, from previous elections. I will say 79% is a little low for Kamala Harris. So while Trump is not necessarily overperforming among black voters in this poll, Kamala is underperforming a little bit, which indicates these votes are going somewhere else. Now, I mean, looking at the third party candidates, there's not really much there. You see 1% going to Jill Stein, 0.5% going to another candidate, 1% going to Chase Oliver, but like nothing out of the norm there. It just, for whatever reason, not a huge percentage there. You're getting about 6% that say they don't know. And so that is interesting. If those 6% were to go to Donald Trump, that would be a pretty good number. 17% of black voters for Republicans is actually a relatively good number. Over on the Hispanic side, you do see improvement for Donald Trump here. He is trailing in this particular survey by about 9 points. Now, it's 51-42, by the way. You have seen other polls showing Donald Trump even more competitive, maybe even winning Hispanic votes. That's not what this particular poll shows, but 42% is a really good showing for a Republican candidate. You need to go back to George W. Bush to see numbers in that area. So that is a good showing for Donald Trump. And then others, all the other groups, this would include Asians and Native Americans and other groups, Donald Trump actually wins. Now, you talk about minority voters. Typically, you think these are Democratic voters. Donald Trump wins the other category here, 45-40. Now, with margins of error, again, you can't take too much out of that other than to say, really, that Donald Trump is very, very competitive among these groups. Overall, when you look at white voters, Donald Trump is leading by 11 points among white voters overall. Non-white voters, he is trailing by 28 points, 59-31. Education level is another way they break these numbers down. And education was a big thing after 2016. How did pollsters miss the 2016 outcome? Essentially, after all the pollsters talked and incessantly wrote papers and went back and forth on Twitter, where they settled was the main mistake they made was an improper and lack by many pollsters of waiting for education. In other words, not picking up, they might wait the polling results based on race and other factors, age, but they didn't appropriately capture the educational makeup of this country. And Donald Trump did particularly well among non-college educated voters. So that was their solution to that was to now change the way they're weighting these polls and say, we need to think about the educational level here. Did they go to college? Did they not? Now, that did not solve their problems in 2020. And the pollsters were concerned about this. I mean, in some ways, the 2020 polling miss in certain states in particular was actually worse than 2016. Both, of course, favored the Democrat heavily. 2016, they got their result wrong. But Hillary Clinton was not favored by as much as Joe Biden was. The polling miss, as far as raw numbers goes, was actually worse in 2020 in many areas. Anyway, one of the ways they try to brush that off is, COVID, and there is some rationale to this, right? Democratic voters typically were more scared of COVID, right? They paid attention to the restrictions for longer. When the voting period was happening, many of them were home. Many of them were home sitting around doing nothing because they were terrified of life. And we're happy to take calls from pollsters because they wanted to talk to somebody. Republicans were out at like football games and not answering pollsters' calls. And the thought of the non-response bias kind of becoming a factor in 2020 because of that reason. Now, that's not necessarily completely proven, but that's one of the theories as to why they missed in 2020. They believed they fixed the 2016 problems, but got a new set of problems in 2020. And will that be repeated, or will there be a new set of problems in 2024? We don't know that yet. But when it comes to education level, college educated voters Kamala Harris leads among those voters 56-36, so a 20 point margin. With no college education, you have a situation where Donald Trump leads 53-40. What's interesting about that gap is larger than the gender gap, which is constantly discussed. And this is a situation where Donald Trump really does particularly well under, non-elite voters. Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party have moved from a party targeting the working man and have begun targeting liberal elites. That's how the rise of wokeism inside the Democratic Party really occurred. They started embracing things like CRT because a lot of their voters went to college, took those courses, and liked that stuff. And that stuff rose up and it wound up hurting them with sort of normal people who think, I don't know, race shouldn't be the most important thing and that you can't just switch genders with magic words. So that is a split that is larger. Now, you can start combining these factors. And you can get deep into this stuff. And it shouldn't be something that dominates your thinking, but it is interesting to understand how these groups work together. So white college-educated voters go to Kamala Harris by a 15-point margin, 54 to 39. White voters who did not go to college go overwhelmingly to Donald Trump, 63 to 33. So a 30-point lead among white non-college educated voters, where the giant 15-point lead is totally wiped out by Kamala Harris on the other side. When we go to non-white college educated voters, once again, you see a major advantage for Kamala Harris, 63 to 26. Donald Trump has made up ground when it comes to non-white, no college voters, but it not enough. He's still down by 25, 58 to 33. So it's interesting to look at this. Donald Trump only leads in one age category. And when it comes to race and education, he only leads in one group, which are white non-college voters. Everything else, Kamala Harris has double digit leads when it comes to those breakdowns. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump still leads overall in this poll. This is, of course, why the Democrats targeted white working class voters for so many years. And it's why Donald Trump has been able to be competitive with really a new coalition when it comes to these breakdowns. One other fascinating breakdown, and we could go through these all day, of course. But when it comes to party ID, Democratic voters and Republican voters are almost exactly the same. Democratic voters, people who consider themselves Democrats, vote for Kamala Harris overwhelmingly, of course. That margin is 92% to 4%. Among Republicans, obviously most of them voting for Trump, yes, of course, almost by the same margin, 94% to 4%. So a 90-point margin for Republicans for Trump and an 88-point margin for Democrats for Trump. Independents in this poll slightly tilt toward Kamala Harris, 45% to 42%. All of this, of course, tells you this is a very close election. When it comes to voters who voted in 2020, you see another interesting breakdown. If you voted for Joe Biden in 2020 and you are going to vote again in 2024, that vote goes overwhelmingly to Kamala Harris. 89% of Joe Biden voters are voting for Kamala Harris. Only 5% are switching over. So if you voted for Biden and then you're coming over to Trump, that's only 5% of Biden voters. The numbers are much better, though, for Donald Trump. Trump is maintaining his voters with a considerable margin here. 97% of people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 are voting for him again in 2024. Only 2% of people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 are switching over to Kamala Harris. And those would be, this is why it's a fascinating approach to keep trotting out people like Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is one of those voters, right? Liz Cheney voted for Donald Trump in 2020. People forget this. She voted for Donald Trump in 2020, then switched after January 6th and now thinks apparently abortion's okay. I don't know where she is these days, but 97% to 2%, only 2% of Republican voters fall into these categories. And you see Kamala Harris doing events like this over and over and over again, trying to seemingly attract that very, very small slice of the American populace. By the way, those who did not vote in 2020, 43% for Donald Trump, 40% for Kamala Harris. Again, with the margins of errors, we're right in toss-up territory there as well. You know, it's interesting as you look at all this poll, and I know I'm overloading you with numbers today, and that's intentional. I feel like if you're over here at the State of the Race podcast, you want to nerd out a little bit on these numbers. It is fascinating to look at these, though, because the breakouts aren't always what you think when you look at the way these campaigns are operating. Now, this is one poll. It is by a highly rated pollster, and it is one that you're going to see reflected in measures like the PulseCast in the coming days and many of the election models that you may follow. A CNN poll came out today, same type of result, basically a tie between the two candidates, but moving toward Donald Trump. Those things are positive for the Trump campaign, but, and I mentioned this on radio earlier today, I had a conversation with my wife early this morning, and she was showing a sense of optimism that I feel right now. If you're a Donald Trump voter, she's a huge supporter of Donald Trump, and if you're a Donald Trump voter, you're probably feeling really optimistic. I think the optimism levels at this point are front-running the data a little bit. We are seeing the data move toward senses of optimism, but still we're in a toss-up race. These polls are coming out and they are favoring Donald Trump. They're moving toward Donald Trump. But what they don't indicate is some blowout win or some easy win. None of these polls look as good as, for example, Joe Biden's polls looked for Joe Biden in 2020, or Hillary Clinton's polls looked for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Donald Trump is in the middle of a toss-up race. This performance by Donald Trump is, however, his best performance of any of the three runs for president. As we know, one of those presidential runs he won and became president. The second one he lost in a very close election, just a few tens of thousands of votes across the country were the difference between him becoming elected and not. So there's reasons for optimism. If these pollsters did not fix the issues I discussed earlier, meaning, you know, education level to the appropriate degree, meaning, you know, the COVID non-response bias and those types of factors. If they didn't fix those, there's immense optimism for Donald Trump. He will likely have a polling error in his favor once again, and he will sweep to victory with over 300 electoral votes, and it will feel like it was easy and we worried about nothing. On the other hand, if they did fix some of these factors, and again, they're incentivized to do so, right? They want to be right. Some of these pollsters obviously are doing things just for the Democratic Party, but these mainstream polling companies get rated on whether they're accurate or not. And, you know, the next election, these next campaigns will go to them and pay them tons and tons and tons of money if they got the results right. And if they miss by 8 points, they are not going to get that money. So there is pretty heavy financial incentives and reputational incentives to get these election results right. If they fixed those problems that they had last time, then probably this election is going to be either very, very close or could potentially even have a polling error that benefits Kamala Harris. This did happen in 2012. 2012, the polling error underestimated the support for Barack Obama. He wound up winning the election, even though the polls showed it very, very close. I hope we don't see that this time, but it is possible, and it should be something that you're aware of. I would sit at this point with cautious optimism. Cautious optimism, not runaway optimism, cautious optimism. And we will see as these polls filter into all of these election models and measures how it affects it. But I would assume over the weekend, we're probably going to see an increase for Donald Trump in a measure like the PulseCast that looks at all of this. You're not going to get any more data put into one single number when it comes to the election than the PulseCast. And again, you can get that at glenbeck.com/PulseCast. All right, that is the state of the race for today. We'll have more episodes next week. We're going to try to do as many as we possibly can, as much as I can talk, as much as you'll listen to me. I appreciate it. And don't forget to follow the YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. If you go over there, you click follow, you click the bell for notifications, you'll know when we go live. We'll be doing live broadcasts after big news events, sometimes after big polling releases. I will say we may do one today. There's a big rally for Kamala Harris in Houston tonight. If I can, if my life/wife will allow some room for me to be able to actually watch this thing. I don't know if we're just doing something. I don't know what the plans are. But if I have time to watch this tonight, I'll probably go live after it. So check it out there. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Follow the show and click the bell for notifications. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been State of the Race. We got 11 more days, boys and girls. Let's get through it together.